Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brought a few things with me this morning. Need a bit of help with a few things as well. Great. Now, this time of the year, we obviously there's a lot of build-up, isn't there, to Christmas. A lot of shopping, even though there's a kind of credit crunch going on. Everybody's still flooding into the shops, aren't they? Getting all their bargains and buying everything left, right and centre. If you saw any news last night, all the stores looked like a bunch of locusts had gone in there and just stripped the places bare of everything. And people are still, obviously, somehow got money to spend, or they don't mind putting it on their card and enjoy it now and pay sometime later. But I want to, as I was praying yesterday about this morning, just felt God wants to do some really simple illustrations this morning. I'm going to read a scripture and you can hear a track going on in the background. That's just going to play while I'm talking. We're going to turn it up a bit later because of what the words are about. But let's have a look at what it says in Matthew 16, verses 24 onwards. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. And when I was praying yesterday, one of the things that the Lord was talking to me about is what is temporal, what is just for now and will fade away, and what is eternal, okay? And we're just going to look at a few things that go on in life, in society, and some of the pressures that we face as people. So I need a few people to give me a hand this morning. Do I have any willing volunteers in the place? How many of you reckon that you're pretty strong? Or you want to volunteer somebody else who you think is pretty strong? I need maybe some slightly bigger blokes for this first one, okay? How many of you reckon your dad is the strongest dad in the church? How many of you reckon? Apart from Anil, of course, we all know he's the strongest. We had to widen the doors when we put that wall in to make sure he could actually get into the building. But how many of you reckon you got the strongest dad in the church then? Come on then, Danny, your lads are volunteering you. Who else is volunteering their dad? Who else? Somebody else? Simon Smith, yeah. Come on in, let's welcome Simon down. And I think we'd better have Anil up here, eh? We'd better have him up. We might as... Come on, Anil. Okay, now we've got a little test here. Little test for you guys. This will probably be dead easy for Anil, but maybe for the other guys, a little bit more of a challenge. We've got a couple of 10-pound weights here, okay? And you've been weight training recently. You've been ill. Oh, be healed, mate. You'd be all right now. You'd be able to do this. Cool. That's easy. You want to have a go as well? Okay, now what I'm going to ask these guys to do, there's 10 pounds in each weight, okay? And they're going to have to hold these out like that, okay? Just like I am, okay? So they're going to have to hold them out like that, both arms like that, and we're going to time them to see how long they can last. Good idea? Nice one. You got the hat for it. You can cheer your dad on. All right. Nice one. Danny, let's start with you, mate. Now, your arms have got to stay 90 degrees to your body. And we've got a few hundred people here who are going to let you know if your arms are dropping. Okay. How many of you want Danny to win this competition? All right, you got a few fans out there. Okay. So we're going to time it. Are you ready? Go. Five seconds.
Sing.
No, you can't sing. 10 seconds. 15 seconds. 20 seconds. 25 seconds. 30 seconds. What do you reckon? Do you reckon he's going to get to a minute? 35. 36. If he was in his own bedroom by now, he'd put them down ages ago. But because you're here, 40 seconds. 45 seconds. 50 seconds. You're going to regret this tomorrow, mate.
I'm regretting it.
You're regretting already. 55 seconds. Ooh, 1 minute. Oh, come on, big round of applause. Okay. Simon, step this way, sir.
We might have rigged this.
Now, what do you reckon? How many do you reckon you're going to do?
Five.
Okay, you ready? On your marks. Get set. Go. Five. 10. I don't hear any cheering. 15. 20. 25. You're doing well there, mate. 30. 35. All that Wii playing, mate, that's really helped you, isn't it? 40. Oh, what'd you reckon? What'd you ring? 45. You look really laid back there, mate. 50. I bet you don't feel it, though, do you? No. 55. He did a minute exactly. Oh, he's going to beat that. Listen, 1 minute. Come on. They're like a couple of feathers, aren't they, mate? You 1 minute five. Look at this. This is great. 1 minute 10. 1 minute 15. And Neil, mate, you better look worried over there, mate. 1 minute 20. Well, come on. You're not good at endurance. Oh, come on. Are you ready? You're ready. I know you are. You haven't got to lift them. Ready? Go. Okay. 1 second. 2 seconds. 2.5 seconds. That's 20 seconds that's up to now. The place goes quiet. 25 seconds. A hush descends over the crowd, the throng, as they say. 30 seconds. 35. Is Simon Smith the strongest man in the church? 40. 45. 50, 55. The tension builds. 1 minute. One minute five. Not as easy as thought, no. 1 minute 10. I can't even do it for 10 seconds, so 1 minute 15. Oh, here we go. 1 minute 20. You've won, mate. Or are you going to just... You can stay there. We'll carry on. He'll stay there. All right. So, come on, let's give him a round of applause.
I'm relieved.
Cool. Now, one of the things in life is pump theory. Anybody know what pump theory is? Anybody know what pump theory is? I'll tell you what pump theory is in a little while, okay? So you can think about it. Now, one of the things in life that we face is being a man or being strong or being tough and all that kind of thing. And people measure things in life by how tough you are, how strong you are, your image on the outside and that kind of thing. It's interesting, isn't it, how Danny was the first one to go. Simon had some what's called pump theory going. I'll explain that in a minute, because somebody in front of a crowd had already done something that was a certain length of time, and then Simon comes up and there's a time to beat, but there's a crowd watching, and because there's a crowd watching, that gave him more kind of impetus, if you like, to stick to the plan and to beat it And he did even more than Danny did. And then Anil comes up. We know he's probably slightly stronger than the rest of us put together. But he still had to stand there. But again, there's a crowd watching. There's an impetus there. And pump theory, okay, is enthusiasm greater than ability equals injury. Okay? Enthusiasm greater than ability equals injury, all right? Now, lots of people live pump theory but don't realise it, okay? Because a lot of people live an adrenaline-filled life. They want to look hard, they want to look tough, they want to have the right image, they want to drink the right thing, they want to act in the right way, they want to come across like they're sorted, they want to define their own identity. For me, you know, I go into a pub and people say, what do you want? And there might be a load of blokes and they all have beers and lagers and I'm like, I'll have an orange juice and lemonade, please, you know. Now, that's not the easiest situation to be in, but for me, in that situation, pump theory doesn't work because I don't mind if people call me a wussy for drinking orange juice and lemonade. But it's very easy to live our lives on the adrenaline or on what other people are looking at, saying, I've got to be tough, I've got to be hard, I've got to have the right image, I've got to come across in the right way or I'm not going to be acceptable. Let's give these guys a big round of applause, shall we?
That's it, mate.
Okay, now, is anybody any good at football? Anybody any good at football? Anybody good at kind of kicking the ball up, keeping the ball in the air? Now, not Swarbs. I've got something for him to do in a minute, okay? I've already pointed him out, so... anybody else? Anybody want to come and help me? Where's Dave Hellier? He's not in here. What's he doing out there then? Dave, mate, quick, run on. Come on down, mate. Got something for you to do. Anybody else? Any ladies? Do we have any lady footballers in the place? Come on in, Becky. Down you come, mate. Well done. Well volunteered. Anybody else? Come on then. Great, come up on stage. Okay, another little competition this morning we have for you. Keep-ups. Keepy-uppies, all that. I think you better go last, mate, because... are you any good at this?
No, I can't do it once.
Can't do it once. Are you any good at this?
No, I'm not.
You're not? Okay, this is going to be a very short one, this one. What's your name?
Gemma.
Right, there you go, Gemma. Do you know what that is? It's a football, okay?
Right,
ladies, that's a football, okay? It's round. You kick it with your foot, try and get a goal. Are you from Australia? Oh, soccer. That's a soccer ball. Okay, well, over here it's called a football.
Okay.
That's a proper game over here, all right? None of this Aussie rules rubbish. Anyway, right, there you go. Do you know what a keepy-uppie is?
No.
This is going well, isn't it? Do you know what a keepy-uppie is?
Yeah, but I can't do it to show you.
Do you want me to show you what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what you got to do, right? So you get the ball, and you got to keep the ball like this. There you go. You can't do that. Go on, have a go. Have a go. Just try and at least do the women justice in the place. One. Well done. Two. Not bad, not bad. Have another go. One, two, three. It's getting better all the time. Thanks. Okay, three. That's pretty good. Do you reckon you can beat that?
No.
Go on, have a go. Have a go. Try not to break anything. All right. One, two. One, two. Averaging two so far. One, one. Okay.
Bring it down.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, how many of you want to see a professional doing kicky uppies of the football? There you go then, mate.
Muller is not here.
I know. Come on in, Dave. Here we go. Come on. Okay, now, where are you going? Hang on a minute, I haven't finished with you lot yet. Now, there's another thing in life. A lot of people, they want to develop skills and talents and abilities, and a lot of people are judged by their skills, by their abilities, and by their talents. And people work on all kinds of things. I mean, not just kicky-uppies, but You could be into any kind of thing, from music to creative arts or to some kind of skill-based thing. And lots of people build their lives around talents, around skills and around abilities because, one, they want to live a good life and make a good living for themselves, but also it can be an identity, it can be a security, it can be something they just fully give themselves to, and that can become their kind of their identity in life because they're good at this or good at that or have a skill at that. Some people are recognised for what they do, and there can be another pressure on us as people that to have an identity in an ability or in a skill or in something you do to regards getting friends or being accepted or being part of the in crowd or to try and get along in life. And it's good to be skillful at things, absolutely, okay? But the danger out there is that we totally give ourselves to these things and they become an identity or a security in our lives, okay? Let's just hold that one as well. Let's thank these guys. Okay, now, who would like to be rich? Who'd like to be rich? Okay, who would like to carry a bag like that? Maybe all the blokes put their hands. No. If you're a lad, put your hand down. Back in the middle there. That's it. Just at this moment. All right, let's have a lady up here. A lady. Come on then, you can come up here. A young lady. Make your way up then. Right, come up here then. Okay. Just pop that over. Have a look in there. See what else is in there, okay? What do you reckon? What's in there?
Money.
Loads of money. Digital camera. There's an iPod for you there. I'll tell you what, you can't keep it, of course, but anyway. Just for illustration purposes only. Stick that in there. Stick that on for a minute. Stick them in your ears. They're all clean. They've only been in my cat's ears at home, that's all. I tell you, who's got a cat in here? We've got a cat, okay, and he's not allowed on the bed, right? He's a cat, he's an animal, they belong on the floor and outside, okay? But Jane went into our bedroom yesterday and she said, come and see where the cat is. And I said, right. He was not only on the bed, he was lying on Jane's side of the bed with his head on the pillow, totally arms up. I mean, it was... If I'd had a shotgun at that point, we'd have needed to buy a new bed. Right. Okay, so you've got loads of money in there. Have loads of money. Just count your money out. You've got a digital camera. You've got all sorts of things in there. Okay. There you go. Put that on. Put your arm through there. Cash. Also, you've got a real flashy little laptop-y thing there. Stick that under your arm. Don't drop that, whatever you do. Okay. Cool, please. Right. Okay. Now, what's your name?
Anna,
suddenly. Anna's got all the gadgets, she's got all the things, nice big house, you've got several cars, you've got a great job, you've got all things, loads of stuff going for you, right? You've got money to spend, you take your friends out all the time, you know. It's like, her lifestyle is she's got money to burn, okay? Like some of these footballers, I heard they light cigars with £20 notes and all of that. It's kind of robbing the poor to feed the rich, isn't it? That's what some of this football's all about these days. So here we are, she's got loads of money, but her whole identity is around wealth, it's around money, her security is, you can walk up and down like you own the place, okay? You kind of walk around really confidently and... Is that confident? Do you say anything? Can you talk? Yeah, okay, just walk up and down like you own the place, like all these people out there are your servants, okay? Just look at them all like, you know... You're in charge, you've got loads of money, they're here to serve you and all of that, okay? Can you do that? Parlez-vous anglais? Do you speak English?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, right? They're all your servants, okay, out there now? Do you like that? You've got a few hundred servants, that's pretty cool, isn't it? You own all their houses. All their cars belong to you, okay? Is that all right? All right, okay. She's really wealthy, okay, rich. Well, again... Her identity, her security and everything's in what she has, in her money, in her goods and or her clothes and all of that stuff, in her job. And the things that she's building up to build a wall around herself, to build security around herself, and because as far as she's concerned, money's security. These things that I have provide another security with me. You know, I've got all the things that I want. I've got a big house, and I just fill my house with more stuff, and then I buy a bigger house because I've got more stuff, and I need a big house to put all my stuff in. Okay. And so that's how she's living her life at the moment, okay? So just stay there for a moment. Is that all right? Okay. Now, I need somebody else who's going to volunteer. His name's Swarbs. Well done, mate. Come up. Just stay there a minute. Mate, just step this way. Actually, come here behind the tree for a minute. Just wait there. Just talk amongst yourselves for a moment. Yeah, I need you to put that on. Wait there. Are you ready for the most beautiful woman in the world? Are you ready? Let's welcome the most beautiful woman in the world. You're looking good this morning. Do you feel good? What do you reckon? Marks out of 10 for beauty? 12. 12. I knew you couldn't count, Andrew, but never mind. Excellent. Now, for this young lady, you can just... I was trying to get a dress, but because somebody only gave me a wig this morning, so I didn't bother bringing a dress. Not one of mine. I was going to bring one of my wife's, but otherwise we could have had a dress on you as well.
That would have been fantastic.
You would have been fantastic. Anyway, just walk up and down a little bit, kind of, so we could admire your beauty. Now, we live in a fame culture. All right. We live in a celebrity culture, don't we? Everybody wants to be on X Factor. Britain's Got Talent. Everybody wants to be famous for a moment. And there's a lot in our society, isn't there, about being beautiful, about having the right image, about having to have the right figure or being handsome and having the right six-pack and all of this kind of stuff. And there's so much today that you've got to look like this. And if you don't look like this and if you don't meet this kind of standard of how you look, then you're either subnormal, you're not quite good enough, you never quite make it. But yet, at the same time, we live in this fame culture, this celebrity culture where people want to know more and more about their celebrity, don't they? Every little thing about their life, and you know, down to you know what they keep in their cupboards and what they eat for breakfast, through to how do they do their hair and all the different choices they make, and people want to touch that in some way, and they go on to X Factor, they go on Britain's Got Talent. Why? Because people want to be famous, people want to be a celebrity. There is something going on in our culture, isn't there, at this time, about wanting to be famous for a moment, or the shortcut to success. And all of that kind of thing. And when you watch some of these X Factor things, man, people are, they're locked into their own little world, aren't they? They really do believe that they are good. Anybody ever watch any of these X Factor things? Some of the people that come onto those shows, they think that they are just amazing, don't they? And you listen to them sing and you think, man, they can't even hear it, but they think they're God's gift or whatever to mankind. And we live in this celebrity culture which says you have to be a certain way, look a certain way, you have to be beautiful, you have to meet all the standards of society and everything. Now, how many of you know that all the things we've been looking at, whether it's beauty or how good you look, whether it's money, whether it's a skill or whether it's a strength, it's an image, all of those things, how many of you know those things are temporal? They only last for a moment or for a certain period of time, right? Let's thank these guys, first of all. You can take the wig off now, mate. Thanks for helping out. Just grab that off you. Cool. Okay. Now, we just want to look at a couple of verses and kind of see where we're going with this this morning. I won't put that on because it'll put you off. If we read out what we read a minute ago, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. So the things we've been looking at is people wanting to save their own lives, okay? They're wanting to save their lives with either an image, being tough or whatever. They want to save their lives through a skill or an ability. They want to save their lives through an image or through how good they look. They want to save their lives through money and through building security around them. It's, the word says anybody who builds their life around this stuff, they're going to lose their life, because this stuff's only temporary. It only lasts for a short period of time. But he says, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What's Jesus saying? There's something else to build your life around that's going to last for eternity. We can have these things in life because we need them. You know, we need food and we need this and we need gadgets and whatnot. But Jesus is saying you can't give your life to these things or build your life around those things. He said there's something else that you need to build your life around. What does it say here? What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, which this is what this song's about, okay, yet forfeits his soul? And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory and with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Now, what is it that God is saying that we must do that has eternal consequences or value? Okay, there's one word. The word is obedience. How many of you love that word? Okay, doing whatever God commands us to be doing, that's the thing that's going to have eternal value. But let's look at this verse, Matthew 4, verse 19, okay? Now, I need a few people here. Who would like to be Jesus? Come on then, you can be Jesus. Okay, we have a Jesus here. An athletic one. Cool. Now, what does the Bible say here in this verse? Jesus says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay? Nice one. Thank you. Cool. Jesus didn't say, come, follow me, and I'll give you a really good image. Or come, follow me, and I'll give you loads of money. Or come, follow me, and I'll give you loads of possessions. Or come, follow me, and I'll make you look beautiful or handsome. He says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay? And so Jesus came. Let's have a few disciples very quickly. A few people just run out here. Just come out quickly. About five or six of you. Oh, there's a lot of lads up here this morning. It's good, isn't it? Come on, Speedy. What's your name, mate? Pardon?
G'day.
G'day, mate. G'day. Cool. Are you coming up as well, mate? Come on in. That's a cool hat you got there, mate. Hope you're coming in. Great. Now, here's Jesus. These are his disciples. You guys are going to turn the world upside down, eh? Are these guys going to turn the world upside down? Okay. Now, Jesus says to these guys, he says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Okay. So God's perspective on life is different. Do you want to come up as well, Anthony? Come on in. Come on in, you want to be a disciple of Jesus, yeah? Come on in. That's it. Come over here then. Okay, now Jesus' perspective on life is different than the world's perspective. The world says create a good image. Put some money around yourself. Create some securities. Look good, feel good. Try and become famous. Make a name for yourself. Carve out a niche for yourself. Do you want to get down? And where were we? We're in church, aren't we? Right, okay. The world says try and create and carve something out for yourself. Jesus says the total opposite. He didn't say come follow me and I'll give you a great image and a great life and carve a niche out for yourself. He says come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How many of you know that what we talked about earlier, you can't take any of that with you? You can't take money with you. You can't take houses and cars with you. You can't take an image with you. You can't take beauty with you. You can't take anything, those kind of things with you for eternity. But what does God say? He says, give your life around the things that have eternal value. And Jesus says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Because as far as God's concerned, the greatest treasure on earth is the soul of a man or a woman or of a person. And so he's saying, don't concentrate and give your life for things that are only going to last a while. He's saying, give your life for the thing that is going to have an eternal value, which is the soul of another person. And so Jesus says in what we read in Matthew 16 there, he says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world but yet loses or forfeits his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what he has done. 2009 for us as a church is not about how much you might be able to get in life and put around your life. 2009 for us is going to be how many lives can we reach and impact and see affected with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many lives can we see change? Because when Jesus steps into the arena or into the room or into our lives, yes, we can be blessed and all that because we know him, but Jesus puts the whole focus on follow me. Okay, you begin to walk that way, or you can go down the stairs. Jesus says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Go on your way. You follow him. Now begin to pick up some other people on the way, okay? As you walk in, just grab some other people. Walk a bit slower, a bit slower, a bit slower. Just grab some others. Other people, join them. Just stand up, join in with them. Please help me. Thank you. There's a few others joining. One or two others. Just stand up and join in. How you doing? You can stay with me and we'll just watch whether they do what they're supposed to be doing.
All right.
Cool. Oh. Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.
Yeah,
that'll do, that'll do. Wait there, wait there, wait there. Okay, you got a few. That's cool. A few more. Let's all stand up, shall we? We're going to pray. There's a very real challenge that goes on all of the time in our lives. We're all aware of it when we're in our neighbours' houses, when we're with friends, work colleagues, friends at work, whatever situation we're in. It's very easy, isn't it, to be aware all the time on whether your lifestyle matches up to what somebody else thinks your lifestyle should match up to. Have you got the latest gizmos? Have you got the latest gadgets? Are you going on the latest holiday? Are you being the person that people think the world says is successful? And it's a challenge, isn't it, out there every day, because we have to make choices. Do we live to the world's declaration of success, or do we live to the way that Jesus says this is the way to live a life which is fruitful or successful? Because Jesus puts the emphasis on people. The world puts the emphasis on stuff. The great thing about this season of Christmas, it does bring everybody's attention to people, to relationships and to family. I'm going to go and spend time with family. I'm going to go and spend time with friends. Maybe some people are united at this time of the year in a way that they haven't been for the whole year. But yet this season in society can just come and go. And now Christmas is gone, we can get on with life. We can get back to the rat race of life to try and build up our life, to try and build up our security, to try and build up our identity. And we step out of the rat race for a few days maybe in life, and it's very easy to step back into it, okay? But Jesus doesn't want us to live a rat race, trying to build a castle, trying to build a life. What he wants us to do is live a life that serves him, that walks with him, and that impacts and affects people. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and everything else will be added. What is seeking first his kingdom and righteousness? It's seeking first what God wants to do in people's lives, people being saved or people being healed or people's lives being impacted with the gospel. That's seeking his kingdom and righteousness first. It's being obedient to how he wants us to be in our lives. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? You guys can stay up here for a minute. Just close your eyes and let's pray together. Do you want to just turn the music off for a minute, mate? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that when we come to know you, you bless us by taking us out of the pressures of having to meet the world's expectation of success. That no longer has to be the measure by which we live. Father, I thank you that in this church we've got people of many talents, many skills, many abilities. People with different giftings and expertise in different ways. And Father, we're blessed as a people, and you want the church to be filled with people that are excellent in every way, so that we demonstrate the excellence of who you are with a great attitude and a great heart in life. But Father, we understand that you don't want us to build our lives around those things, becoming the center, becoming a tower, becoming a security, becoming an identity. We thank you that you have put your life in us so that our lives can be, our identity can be found in you, our securities can be in you, our peace can be in you. Father, we thank you that we are blessed as people, that you provide for us. But Father, your word says here that you came to seek and to save that which is lost. You've come to us to follow you so that we can become fishers of men, so that other people's lives can be impacted and changed. Father, I thank you that 2009 is a year where we're going to be effective and we're going to be fruitful. And we're going to see many more lives reached and touched and transformed, whether it's right next door in our local community, in this region, in the nation, wherever we go, Father, as part of Kingdom Faith. We thank you that you've declared over this coming year a year of effectiveness and fruitfulness. You might need to just take a few moments just to pray and just to get some things in order. If you've had in your mind chasing a dream that maybe is more built around something that is temporal than eternal, or you've been wanting to get certain things into your life because you think, well, I'd really like to have that, I'd really like to buy this, and maybe you just need to submit that to the Lord this morning and say, well, Father, I want to submit all of that because first and foremost, I want to follow you because I want to be a fisher of men. Father, I'd rather be obedient to you than pursue my own thing. Father, we thank you for this coming year, for such a heart for people, a greater heart for people, people that know you and people that don't know you, just a heart for people. To want your salvation purposes for people, whether saved or unsaved, so that people will go on being saved. And for many others, that they come into salvation and begin to live and walk that out in their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Another scripture that God wants to remind us of. You know, sometimes there were children coming to Jesus and the disciples didn't want that. They had a bit of a wrong attitude towards the children coming to him. And Jesus put them on his knee and he kind of celebrated them. He said, look, you know, the kingdom is for such as these. Now, God's not saying we've got to be childish, but what he's saying is he wants us to have a simplicity about the way we approach God and the way we walk with God. We don't complicate the thing. We just keep our walk with God really simple. That's the word, simplicity to it. God wants there to be a depth, but a simplicity, an ease with him, a walk with him. That we come, like children come to their parents, they run to them boldly, confidently, daddy, mummy, give me a hug, and they throw their arms around their parents. Or, you know, what your kids are like, if you've got them, they easily come up to you and say, hey, I need a fiver, can you give me some money? It's like you're the walking wallet or whatever. And there's a boldness there with your kids because they know the access they have to everything that you have. And that's how God wants us to be in this coming year. Boldness and a confidence that we access everything that is in God, that is in Christ. That we access it all boldly and confidently as individuals and as a body. Because there's loads of others that God wants to be able to access the goodness of who he is through our lives in this coming year. So be bold in this coming year. In coming to the Lord, embrace him, run to him, run towards God. If you're going through a difficult period, run to him, don't run from him. Run to him, because that's where you're going to find security. That's where you're going to find an answer. That's where you're going to find fulfillment. That's where you're going to find a breakthrough. That's where you're going to find a solution to the situation. Run to him. And as you move towards him, he moves towards you and he meets you and something changes. So, Father, we thank you that 2009 is a year of your goodness and your abundance. It's a year of walking with you and you make us fishers of men. We thank you that this year we can be wholehearted at losing our own souls, as it were, losing our own lives. Not trying to build them around stuff, but we can live our lives around people and building into their lives and seeing other people's lives built up and them becoming everything you've called them to be. Thank you that your word says it's better to give than to receive. And in that giving, somehow you enable us to be fulfilled in that. It's just a completely different way than society thinks. But as we give in this coming year, we thank you that we'll receive from you, because that's one of your kingdom principles. It's just a thing that is released from heaven. As we give, we're going to be blessed. So Father, thank you we can focus on giving and blessing and just putting something into other people's lives this year. We thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's thank all these guys for coming up, shall we? Brilliant. Bless you, mate. Cool.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.